Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Sister Janet Ferns. In today's programme, Joan Lewis and I consider some of the background concerns of the Brazilian Church, issues that will be considered when the Latin American and Caribbean bishops meet at a parricida. A parricida is a title given to Our Lady, the patroness of Brazil, and the home of the national shrine. Today's programme has therefore a Marian flavour that is appropriate for both Brazil and for the month of May. First, however, we have an update from our own Emma McCarthy, present in Brazil with the Holy Father.
Aparecida.
Prensa, radio, televisión, sitios de internet, foros y tantos otros sistemas para comunicar eficazmente el mensaje de Cristo a un gran número de personas.
The jeopardy of Christians abandoning the faith because of insufficient faith formation, a greater presence in the media and the promotion of the Catholic voice in social and political spheres, but above all, the role of the lay faithful in establishing a society of justice. These were the key themes of Pope Benedict XVI's all-encompassing address to delegates at the opening of the fifth conference of bishops from Latin America and the Caribbean this Sunday in Aparecida. Faith in God, said the Holy Father, has animated the life and culture of Latin America for more than five centuries. It's united the continent in a shared creed, despite the diversity of cultures and languages. At present, this same faith has some serious challenges to address, because the harmonious development of society and the Catholic identity of these people are in jeopardy. The rich and profound popular religiosity, the soul of the Latin American peoples, must be protected, promoted, and purified. Since the fourth General Conference in Santo Domingo, said the Pope, society has dramatically changed. The phenomenon of globalization, which brings great benefits but also vast monopolies who worship profit. Progress towards democracy, but preoccupying authoritarian forms of government and regimes. The Holy Father also made a profound analysis of the conference theme. He said every baptized person receives from Christ, like the apostles, the missionary mandate, but not all are really convinced that it is Christ who gives us the way, the truth, and the life. He noted, often the absence of this conviction has resulted in people labelling faith as emotionalism, removed from the urgent reality of the economic, social, and political problems both of Latin America and of the world. The main body of the Pope's discourse came under the heading of So We May Have Life in Him, and he directly addressed questions of social justice. The principal part of Pope Benedict's discourse was divided into sections dealing with the Eucharist, Sunday Mass as the centre of Christian life, social and political problems, and other priority areas such as the family, priests and religious, and the lay faithful, each a natural progression from the central theme, the Word of God. Pope Benedict addressed the question of the Church's contribution to the solution of urgent and complex social and political problems. The political task, he stressed, is not the immediate competence of the Church. The Church must respect nations' secularity, including the pluralism of political opinions. Only by remaining independent from partisan political interests can the Church truly be an advocate of justice and of the poor. Just structures, said the Holy Father, must be sought in the light of fundamental values. The Pope observed that the time has come for this majority Catholic continent to overcome the lack of Catholic leaders in the political sphere, in the world of the media and in universities. The Pope told bishops and religious it's their job to remind the laity of their responsibility and their mission to bring the light of the gospel into public life, into culture, economics and politics. In order to achieve this, said Pope Benedict XVI, the family, the patrimony of humanity, as he called it, the school of faith, must be protected and promoted. Mothers who wish to dedicate themselves fully to their family must have the right to count on the support of the state. Fathers have the duty to be true fathers, fulfilling their indispensable responsibility and cooperating in bringing up children. Priests and religious must be men of and women of God, said the Holy Father, and Latin America's lay communities must answer Christ's call, dedicated to serving their brothers and sisters. This, concluded Pope Benedict, is the formula for a missionary church capable of renewing the faith in the third millennium. Invoking Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, and specifically Our Lady of Aparecida, patroness of Brazil, the Pope appealed to God to stay with the delegates for the duration of the Fifth General Conference of the Bishops of Latin America and the Caribbean, and to inspire their work.
Para introducir al pueblo de Dios en el misterio de Cristo es la catequesis. En ella se transmite de forma sencilla y sustancial el mensaje de Cristo.
Señora aparecida, querida mãe do Brasil.
The Church in Brazil has, as does any country, a complex past, present, and future. It is therefore not surprising that the fact that the Pope's visit to Brazil inspires its people to take a closer look at ways in which the Church might become an ever more important part of their lives. Joan Lewis and I consider some of the background concerns of the Brazilian Church. Joan, another programme, but this week it's one that's happening in the middle of a papal trip.
It is, and there's been a lot of interesting stories in the Vatican, but we're to concentrate on the Pope's trip to Brazil, and which he just began yesterday. So the only, I believe, as we are recording this, that he only talk he would have given would have been his welcoming address at the airport of Sao Paulo on Wednesday. He arrived apparently a half an hour ahead of schedule, as a matter of fact, at 4 p.m. So I wonder what that does to protocol. You know,
I bet they panic
when you are arriving late. That's a little bit okay. You can still kind of move things around, but when you arrive early, if you have to, shall we say, kill a half an hour while somebody's waiting you at a presidential palace or whatever, you know, how do you do that? Just this is his sixth trip of his pontificate, the previous five having been in Europe, or if you want to call Turkey, which was Europe and Asia, when he went to Istanbul and Ankara. However, this is his first intercontinental trip. So it'll be very interesting because just the length of a trip like that, I just got back from the States. It was not that quite that long a trip almost. But in any event, that can take a toll on you even if you're just sitting there. And 12 hours on a plane is a very long trip. The time difference, by the time the Holy Father would have gone to bed, it would have been 5 or 6 or whatever in the morning here in Rome. And that's the time your body's on. That's the time you got up for that day for your trip. So it's a very important trip. And he's going to open the Conference of the Latin American and Caribbean Bishops, of course, on Sunday. And that is the main focus of his trip, though there's a mass with the canonization, there's a number of other events, but there's huge problems on the Latin American continent, and there's huge problems in Brazil itself. Cardinal Bertone, Secretary of State, already anticipated some of the comments of the speeches, the focus of the speeches of the Holy Father, saying that he will concentrate on poverty, on certain social issues, on the question of abortion. And the Holy Father even mentioned some of the issues on the plane when he talked to journalists. In any event, no, the Holy Father, in studying the issues that Latin America faces, he had to have had some frown lines on his face because of the one of the major problems is Catholics deserting the Catholic Church for evangelical or Pentecostal movements.
And that is often because they're given practical incentives.
Yes, and that's the church is saying, you know, we are not here as a social agency, the Catholic Church. We are not here as a social agency.
We're not going to pay people to become Catholics.
We're not going to pay them. We're not going to get them jobs. We're not going to get them homes. You do have to see to social justice. You have to talk about everyone's right to work, right to home, right to life. But the Catholic Church is not there as a social welfare agency, though the church throughout the entire world runs hundreds, tens of thousands of welfare agencies, of clinics, of educational facilities, old people's homes, of many, many things like that. But that's not their main business. Their main business is the proclamation of the gospel. Now, there are a number of priests in Brazil particularly who are trying to turn around this hemorrhage, as Cardinal Hume has called the exodus of Catholics. They're trying to turn it around by being charismatic, that's the expression they're using, by being charismatic as an awful lot of the evangelicals are. Now, are they bringing people back? It seems that perhaps some of these priests that have adopted the evangelical way of proclaiming the gospel are bringing people back into the church. We shall see. But that's certainly one of the major issues.
And there's another very big issue is that of the landless peasants.
Exactly.
Whose homes are being burnt and destroyed by the multinationals and by the logging companies.
Oh, and the deforestation, I mean, there's many problems that have nothing to do with strict spirituality. However, you do have to, people who need a home are first going to turn to someone who is going to help them put a roof over their head or a meal on their table. They're going to care a little less about spiritual life. And I think that that's the battle that the Catholic Church has to fight. It has to bring these people back into a community. Many people are looking for a community, for other people who will support them. And what perhaps they fail to realize, those who are moving away from the Catholic Church, what they fail to realize is that one of the best communities, one of the best families they could ever belong to is the Catholic Church, the Catholic family.
I think as well, not everybody who thinks of care for the environment, social justice for individuals, not everybody realizes that they go hand in hand in a place like Brazil, for instance, because if you care for the Amazon and all its enormous treasures, you've also got to care for the people who are just as important, if not more important, than the Amazon.
Well, and how many times has the church, right here in Rome, have people spoken out about the environment, including, obviously, the Holy Father, the importance of the environment? There was a conference here a week or 10 days ago that specifically highlighted the importance of the environment, tying together the elements that you just spoke about. So there's just so many issues. There's the shortage of clergy. There's young people who no longer believe in the sexual morality preached by the church. Relativism and secularism are creeping into Latin American society ever more increasingly. In fact, Cardinal Hummes, who was the former Archbishop of Sao Paulo, where the Holy Father is as we speak, he called this, the Catholics who are leaving, he called it a hemorrhage. And he said that this is due to the influence, he said, the expansion of the Protestant sects that attract an ever larger number of baptized Catholics, but also to moral relativism imported from Europe and introduced on the continent, Latin America, above all by the local ruling classes, the mass media, and intellectuals. So a very interesting statement from a cardinal who certainly should know. And he, by the way, he is the current, now, the prefect of the Congregation for Clergy. Interestingly enough, they have something like 13,500 seminarians, and that's in Brazil alone. So we're looking forward to them being ordained because there's a huge shortage of clergy. And I read a statistic the other day that said there were 2 Protestant ministers for every Catholic priest. And there's, I've forgotten the number, 19,000-20,000 priests in Brazil. So
this is one of the things that is going to be addressed.
Yes. And I think that what the church is going to have to do, it just seems to me from a little bit of studying that I did, the background of the church in Brazil. And we must remember here, we're talking about Brazil because that's where the Pope is. He will be in Aparecida. That's where the meeting will open of the Latin American bishops. But a lot of the problems that we're talking about specifically relative to Brazil exist elsewhere.
In Central and Southern America.
Exactly, exist elsewhere on the continent. So in that sense, it's not just Brazilian. And you've got all the prelates from the different countries coming together these days. So.
Yes, and one of the important things that's going to happen while the Pope is away in Brazil is that he's going to canonize the first native-born Brazilian saint.
He is. That ought to be a very thrilling thing, and very hopefully. I know, of course, he was a religious, but it would be wonderful if the Brazilians could look to him as a model and say, you know, one of us, and he became a saint, and we can do it too. And I think that what the church is going to have to do is use, to the best of its ability, those church-going, faithful Catholics who go maybe daily, certainly go Sunday, support the schools, and follow the orthodoxy, the doctrine of the church. They're going to have to use them in the evangelization. It can't just be up to the priest and the bishops. You're going to have to use the parents, the young people in the pew to evangelize their people at work, their neighbors, and so forth, and bring them back into the fold.
But this is what has come out after all these years, out of the documents of Vatican II, that we are the people of God, that the church isn't just priests, it is people as well. And the whole idea of the progressive peoples, populorum progressio.
Exactly.
It is that the church is everybody.
So we shall see. It'll be very interesting to see the results, which will not be immediate, of the Pope's trip to Brazil. More interestingly, in a way, will be the results, the decisions made by this meeting of the Latin American Episcopacy. How are they going to face some of these problems? What are some of the decisions they're going to make are they going to start a program to attract more vocations? How are they going to work with the people to bring them back in the church? How are they going to face issues of social justice, land reform? I mean, there's so many things that aren't strictly spiritual, and yet in the long run, they're woven into the entire picture. Mm.
Yes, and just one very nice thing to end the program. And that is, we had in 2005, Sister Dorothy Stang, a sister of Notre Dame, murdered for her defence of the poor. And she was killed when she was taking food to the hungry, clothes to the naked. And she was killed. The only weapon that she had was her Bible. Well, in the shrine of Aparecida, which is the national Marian shrine for Brazil, there is a mosaic of women who have made a difference.
Oh.
And Sister Dorothy Stang is about to be included in that mosaic. Now, whether or not that mosaic will be up in time for the Holy Father's visit or not, I don't know. But that thought that there is a sister who died for the poor, who is going to be so honoured by the Brazilian people, is beautiful.
How wonderful. Well, we will know in a few days if that mosaic has another face on it.
Our Lady of Aparecida. She was found in a fishing net and is now the patroness of Brazil.
Senhora Aparecida, Aparecida.
Aparecida, of course, is the symbol of the Blessed Mother in Brazil. The Basilica is in São Paulo, you know, in the city of Aparecida. And I think probably more than anything else, it symbolizes the popular faith life of the people.
It's a beautiful story. In 1717, three poor fishermen were having no success whatsoever as they let down their nets in Brazil's Paraíba River, hoping for a catch. They had travelled some distance down the river in search of fish. They tried again. However, when they pulled in their nets, instead of fish, they found an old, dark brown and headless statue of the Immaculate Conception. Putting down their nets for a second time, once again, there were no fish. Instead, there appeared the head of the statue, which they could then see was just under 3 foot in height. The clay head was also placed inside their boat, as the three men continued their fruitless search for fish. In desperation, one of the fishermen suggested that they pray to Our Lady, who had appeared in the tangle of their nets. They called her Aparecida, she who had appeared. One more time, they put their fishing nets over the side of the boat. Amazingly, they had such a large catch that the weight of fish almost broke the nets. One of the fishermen took the broken statue home and repaired her. He and his family, and then their friends and neighbours, and so on, until the whole of Brazil found themselves praying to the Aparecida.
You know, like so many other places around the world, somehow or another, Mary captures the spirit of people, and people feel something in the life of Mary that gives them hope.
It would seem that the statue of Our Lady of Aparecida was sculpted in about the year 1650, approximately 66 years after the Franciscans arrived in Brazil. With their great love for both the Immaculate Conception and for St. Francis, the little poor man of Assisi, it is not surprising that their love for the Aparecida spread quickly, especially amongst the poor. Father Joe Rosansky directs the Justice, Peace and Integrity of Creation activities for the Order of Friars Minor throughout the world. He himself spent 10 years in Brazil. He comments.
It's hard to say because when I was in Brazil for 10 years, I was there from 75 to 85, which is a while ago now. And I think part of what was being struggled with then, you know, was how do you include popular religiosity in the, because, you know, for sure Brazil was a, what we might want to call a progressive church. You know, the liberation theology was a big part of the reflection of what went on there. But I think that there was always an underlying question about how does popular religiosity fit into that? You know, how does people's day-to-day faith life become part of the reflection on you know, maybe a more theoretical level about theology and who we are and where we're going? When I was in Brazil and John Paul II went there, I mean, millions of people came out to see John Paul II. And, you know, there was something to celebrate then. I think that his visit offered the possibility for people to say something out loud. Because at that time, Brazil was coming out of a time of military rule. They were trying to find their way to see, you know, what do they do? How do they do it? And I think that something like Aparecida carries part of that feeling.
Somehow the Aparecida seemed to encapsulate the brokenness and desire for healing of the struggling and oppressed people of Brazil.
I imagine that it's like Częstochowa in Poland, mm-hmm. You know, where the church really was there for the people who were oppressed. I think in Brazil it was the same way. The people felt that the church was there for them in the time of the military dictatorship and the difficulties that were going on in Brazil, the social issues that they're facing. And so I think that when you look at Mary, you know, Mary is the symbol of this humble person who, in spite of everything, says yes to God and is willing to try to you know, to do her part to make the world, to make things better, you know, to bring the Savior into the world. And I think that maybe the whole Aparecida scene taps into that fundamental feeling of people, you know, that they want to be able to make decisions like Mary did, you know, to be able to make a difference in their own lives too. Just, you know, as you look at people and you see, you know, the people whose faith makes a difference in their life, I think that's what they're really searching for. You know, they want to be able to do something for themselves, for their families, for the people they love, for their country too, you know, to make it a better place. And so, although I, you know, I'm not a sociologist or whatever, I would say that that's part of what gets tapped into, you know, when you look at, you know, the celebration of Aparecida.
Devotion to the Aparecida is still localized around the statue, rather than to any apparitions of Our Lady.
But there is, for sure, a certain devotion around the statue of Aparecida. But, of course, I mean, to be able to move around Brazil, the population of Brazil must be nearing 200 million now, and I would, even though the Catholic population is going down, there's still a lot of them there. I would think that the statue of Aparecida couldn't make its way around, but there are reproductions every place. You know, when you go to a small chapel, you know, on the outskirts of whatever big city in Brazil, or even in the, you know, in the rural areas of Brazil, you'll find a statue of Our Lady on the altar there. You know, they'll put it there, and it's, you know, it's part of their devotion. It's part of I won't say that everybody is, you know, into the celebration of Our Lady of Aparecida, but it's surely a part of the religious life of the Catholics in Brazil. And you would find that every place. Although I never really thought of you. You asked about the apparitions. I don't remember hearing a lot about that.
Well, it just struck me that I didn't see anything about apparitions. There was the statue mentioned, but there wasn't anything said about apparitions. So I wondered if it was something like Częstochowa.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it might actually be, you know, when you look and see some of the other celebrations of Mary, they're tied into apparitions right from the beginning. But the Brazilian one for sure was not that. It's the finding of the statue. And I think the people associate that story with, you know, with the Mary who is the mother of Brazil. And, you know, perhaps that's why there isn't a lot of emphasis on the issue of apparitions.
It's particularly important that the Pope is going there, and significant anyway, because he himself has such a devotion to Our Lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think so. If you go to a place to celebrate the religious faith of a people, you know, I would think that you want to touch the high points of what their religious life is all about. And again, for sure, you know, Aparecida would be, you know, part of what that's all about. And I'm sure that would be symbolic for, you know, the people of Brazil as they see the Pope there.
Senhora Aparecida.
And so we come to the end of our programme for today. You can hear it all again in whole or in its parts if you go to our website at www.vaticanradio.org/English. I'm Sister Janet Ferns. Until we meet again, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the English programme of Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.